I will admit that this job we do as talk show hosts to try to generate reactions, to try to get people talking, you know, sometimes we have to stretch the truth a little bit or exaggerate. Like, I don't think I'm teaching you or telling you anything new. I'm merely pointing this out as an introduction to a conversation I want to have to start this hour. I think we see that happen all the time. I think we have become a sports media business that tends to live on the extremes. I think we tend, it's far more, for whatever reason, and a lot of what we do is based on the feedback we get. A lot of viewers, a lot of listeners, in this respect, this is a radio show, although it would be cool if we had, actually no, it wouldn't. If we had a video, if we also had a video stream of this going on right now, it would not be pretty. It's me in an old shirt, old t-shirt, old gym shorts, sitting around here watching two college football games and watching a New York Mets Washington Nationals baseball game because I'm a self-loathing Mets fan who is still holding out hope that they sneak into the playoffs at 26-31 right now. So I guess, yeah, let me retract the thing about it would not be cool if there was a video watching me, because you would just see how embarrassingly pathetic I am as I just like gorge myself on games. But yeah, the point I'm trying to make here is I think we overreact to things a lot of the times because we think it's good for business. So we say things and we get to places quickly because we want to have an opinion that allows you to react. Like, calling it down the middle is not really the most compelling conversation, even though it might be the right thing to say. So that is my way of setting you guys up for a conversation about Drew Brees. And I do this because that's a big game on Sunday night. Saints and Packers. It's a matchup between Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen, Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. And it seems like the conversations about both quarterbacks, older quarterbacks, very old quarterback in Drew Brees' case, the conversations about both are extremely different. They couldn't be any more different. You got everybody gushing over Aaron Rodgers and saying, oh, now the Jordan Love pick inspired him. It motivated him to be a better player. I'm hearing that now. Now I'm hearing people quickly do an about face and a 180 there and say, well, this was a brilliant move by the Packers because they lit a fire under Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I don't know about you guys. I think I'd rather have somebody in my lineup to help replace Davante Adams, who won't play in this game Sunday because of his hamstring injury. I think I'd rather have a wide receiver who's not Allen Lazard or Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I think I might want a first-round talent wide receiver rather than a quarterback to motivate my franchise quarterback. But that's just me speaking. So everybody's now drooling over Aaron Rodgers, a guy that's beaten two teams that are a combined 0-4 right now, the Lions and the Vikings. And I am... And this is what is the most puzzling about it. I am seeing and I am hearing not just people in my profession, but I am seeing and hearing former players come out of the woodwork now to say that Drew Brees is shot and done. And that what we watched on Monday night, when all eyes were on that game, that debut game for the Raiders in Vegas, and we watched Drew Brees dink and dunk himself all over the field and lose to Derek Carr. The Tuesday morning quarterback conversation was, I think Brees is done. Father time has caught up to him. He's out. He's done. Now, I have to push back on that. I have to use some time here on this show, I think, to set the record straight on Drew Brees, which is not something I thought I would have to do so early in this year. And I'm not, just to be completely transparent, I liked the Bucs to win the NFC South over the Saints before the season started. And I'm not invested in the Saints. I love New Orleans. It's one of my favorite cities in the world, if not my very, it's in my top three. I got married there. I love New Orleans. I'm not a Saints fan, though. But I would just say, let's not connect dots here and assume that because we watched a quarterback dink and dunk his way all over the place and not throw the ball downfield, that this is the Breeze we're going to get the rest of the way. He lost a wide receiver who caught 149 passes last year. Michael Thomas didn't play. And if you've covered or followed the Saints at all, you know that they have had issues at wide receiver behind Michael Thomas. They've got one unbelievable talent and player at that position, and they have been looking and searching for somebody else to go with him. To the point where last December they brought Antonio Brown in. They brought Brandon Marshall in, and he tore his Achilles tendon. I mean, I think they even looked at Dez Bryant. It was Dez Bryant that tore his Achilles tendon. Then they brought Brandon Marshall in after that. They have looked, I had things out of whack there. They have looked high and low for wide receiver help. Now they've got Emmanuel Sanders, who I think is a perfect number two and not a number one, not even close. So, and Breeze hasn't played with Sanders. It's his second game. So people are going on and on about arm strength. I just think he was reserved. I just think he held back, and I just think he was not really, he didn't trust himself throwing the ball downfield because he didn't really like his weapons. I think he's got a running back in Kamara who's one of the most explosive running backs out of the backfield when it comes to catching the ball. He's got Jared Cook at tight end. He's got kind of his best options in that game Monday night were guys that really don't stretch the field. So I just wanted to say this because when you watch Breeze win Sunday night, if you're listening right now, CBSSportsRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 206, wherever you are, the Radio.com app, which is free to download, CBS Sports app, driving around in your car, listening on AM, FM, radio, wherever you are, just remember, you heard somebody, my name's Andrew Filippone, the Pony Express CBS Sports Radio, say on Saturday that all of this talk about Breeze being shot is totally overrated and it's a complete overreaction. I got a guy, Bucky Brooks, here, who played in the NFL and writes for NFL.com. The topic of his story is that Drew Brees won't rebound from his early struggles, and he's citing next-gen stats and talking about how so many of his passes were to guys out of the backfield and how his percentage of throws downfield were just incredibly low. Well, yeah, because Kamara is in his backfield and he didn't have Michael Thomas, okay? There, I mean, problem solved. Or this isn't really a riddle. This is not a hard one. This isn't complicated. One of the best wide receivers in the NFL didn't play, and he's got a running back they just gave a bunch of money to who can catch the ball out of the backfield. So, yeah, when Drew Brees goes off, we'll see. Well, let's wait and see what it sounds like Monday morning, because Aaron Rodgers is going to play without Davante Adams. Let's see how good he looks without his all-pro wide receiver, his number one wide receiver. He can see what it was like for Drew Brees last week to not have a guy who he can count on and depend on. When a play breaks down, he knows who to go to. His first read almost every time is Michael Thomas. Didn't play with him. Didn't have him. They lose. It's not even like New Orleans got blown out or got held to 3 points. They scored in that game. That's the other thing. They didn't go to Vegas and lose 37-6. They scored a ton of points. Not a ton. They didn't score 40 points. They scored enough. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. So I want to know where you are on Drew Brees if you watch that game on Monday. If you believe that the football Grim Reaper has finally found him, and if you think his career's over and he's shot and he's done, and they need to go to Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill, which I still think is insane. You can call me and give me your thoughts at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The other thing, in addition to Breeze, because we can do two things at once here, we can multitask and talk about a couple things this hour. The other conversation I'd like to have with you is about the game on Monday. And I don't usually talk about Monday night games on a Saturday show, but I can't help myself. This Chiefs-Ravens game might end up being the game of the year. I see the Ravens favored -3.5. I can't wait to bet the Chiefs. I can't believe I'm getting an opportunity to bet Patrick Mahomes as an underdog. And the reason why I'm so convinced Kansas City will win the game is because, and I'll say this too, before I get to that point, I'm going to say something you almost, like, I don't like to say stuff like this because I think it's usually not a big deal at all, but this would be one of the rare times where I think it is. If I'm Kansas City and I win the coin toss, I'm taking the ball. If I have an opportunity to get the ball first, if I'm the Chiefs, I do it. Because we have not seen a ton of Lamar Jackson when trailing. His team, in the regular season last year, I think they've played 14 straight games now without trailing in the second half. NFL regular season games. Obviously, Tennessee, it didn't work that way in the playoffs. But in the regular season, I believe they haven't trailed in the second half in like 14 games. And that allows Baltimore to have that dual threat offense with Jackson where he's such a threat to run and you're so worried about it, it opens up things for everybody else. When he trails, he's a different quarterback. And one of the rare times we've seen him have to play from behind the entire game was last September in Kansas City. And when that happened, the Ravens were a much different team. He only ran the ball 8 times against Kansas City. They ended up scoring points, but there was mostly hollow points, garbage time points, cosmetic points that just made the score look better than it really was. I'm Kansas City. I take the ball to start the game. I can't believe I'm getting a chance to bet on Kansas City, and I can bet it on it legally. I'm in Pennsylvania. We've legalized this thing. We're not living in the 1800s. We actually believe that sports betting should be legal. Other states have said you can play blackjack and bet on horses, but you can't bet on sports, which makes no sense to me. But anyways, I get to bet on Mahomes as an underdog, a guy that, short of getting injured and hurting his knee on a quarterback keeper last year against Denver, and a few times where his offensive line has let him down a little bit, is pretty much the best quarterback going. And with all due respect to Lamar Jackson, who's been amazing these first 2 weeks of the season, I don't think there's anything Mahomes can't do. And he falls behind big, and he comes back big all the time, just like last week against L.A. Now, they needed a 58-yard field goal in overtime, and it wasn't a pretty game, but he found a way. I'm not convinced Baltimore can do that. I know if the Ravens get up in this game by 10 points, the Chiefs can still win. If Baltimore gets behind by 10 points, the game's over. Period. And so I'd rather have the team that can win any number of ways. We know that the Chiefs can win with the run now. If Baltimore's strategy is let's take the ball out of Mahomes' hands, let's make it harder for him to throw it, let's soften the box, let's play our safeties in spots that are advantageous to us. Like, let's obviously put a safety over top Tyreek Hill. Let's move a guy over to double team Kelsey. And if you want to run the ball, fine, that was Houston's strategy in week one. And Kansas City had a 14 play drive where 10 of the plays were runs and it ended in a touchdown. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that's why that was actually a smart pick, 32nd overall. You got a running back there that scares you in Kansas City. The rich got richer with that pick. So the Ravens have benefited immensely from playing a lot of games lately where they've had big leads and they've played from ahead. We haven't seen them trail. We haven't seen, like, if Houston marched the ball downfield and scored an opening drive touchdown and maybe rattled Baltimore a little bit, made them play from behind the whole way, made them change some of their identity offensively, I think that's where you get Baltimore. And I think Kansas City's vulnerability is at corner. I don't think it's in their front seven as much. And so I think the way to beat the Chiefs is to throw it. Look at what Herbert did. He had 300 passing yards in his debut, and I don't even think maybe Mike Williams, who led the NFL in yards per catch last year. Well, Mike Williams, I think, had one catch. So it's not even like one of LA's best receivers did the damage. So that's the way, that's how you do it. And look, Jackson had 36 touchdown passes last year. He can throw it. But I'd much rather have him throw it than run it. If I'm the Kansas City defense, I want him throwing the ball, not running the ball. Every time he drops back to pass, and that's the play design, I think that's a win for Kansas City. Not a huge victory, but a small one. So my gut instinct on that game is Kansas City's going to go down there, not roll. They're not going to blow them out. But I think Kansas City wins the game, and they either come back and win again, or they keep Baltimore at arm's length the entire time. And we see, just like we did 2 years ago in the playoffs against the Chargers, and just like we saw last year against the Titans, and just like we saw last year against Kansas City, I think we see a team that not only knows the blueprint to beat the Ravens, but can actually execute it, use it, follow through with it, and win. And that's make the Ravens play catch-up. So I love that we're getting Kansas City as an underdog. If you live in a place where you can bet on the game, I think the Chiefs plus 3.5 is a gimme. And I think they'll win the game outright. So a couple things to talk about with you this hour at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Do you think Drew Brees is shot? If you watched him on Monday, that's just a bad game without a number one wide receiver, or do you think the quarterback is really ready for retirement? And would you even consider Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill at quarterback if you're Sean Payton? And who do you like in Chiefs Ravens? You don't have to call in with takes on both. If you have a strong opinion on either one of them, 855-212-4227. I like Kansas City on Monday night to go into Baltimore and win the game. College football scoreboard update for you here. LSU trails Mississippi State 17-14, under 2 minutes to go in the first half in Baton Rouge. First game without Joe Burrow. Ja'Marr Chase opted out at wide receiver. It's a totally different looking LSU team. Mike Leach has come in there with KJ Costello, the Stanford transfer at quarterback, and they lead 17-14. And LSU, I think, is about to punt the ball and give it back to Mississippi State. So they got a 2 minute off. They got a 2 minute drive opportunity here at the end of the first half. The only top 25 matchup in progress right now is Cincinnati and Army. And Cincinnati leads 10-7. That's a low-scoring game. That's a game that is going fast, as you would expect, because Army just wants to run the ball, and that's it. They took a touchdown off the board. Texas thought they scored on a quarterback fumble, and they picked it up and took it all the way to the house. They reversed the call. Texas Tech got the ball back. They scored. And so that game, that's a big, big flip. That's a big change in that game from feeling like you're up 31-14. Instead of being up 17, Texas is up 3 on Texas Tech, 24-21 with a minute to go. But Texas is driving. They do have the ball inside the Texas Tech, and I think they just scored. So that's going to make that game now 31-21. Yep, he's in. Okay, 31-21 there for Tom Herman after we've already seen. Now they got to kick the extra point still. So 30-21, we already saw Oklahoma blow a 3-touchdown lead to Kansas State today. They lost. Number 3 Oklahoma went down. We'll get a full update in 10 minutes from Erica Herskowitz. I want to get your thoughts on this situation in New Orleans. Do you think Drew Brees is done? Do you think he's the latest old quarterback we've seen fall off a cliff? Do you think he's shot? Do you think they should consider a quarterback change there? Or do you think he's, you know, I think it's an overreaction what he did against Vegas, but you might disagree. And who do you like in Kansas City, Baltimore? 855-212-4227 is the number. Andrew Filippone coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. You can follow me on Twitter at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. Share a thought there. You can follow us at CBS Sports Radio. Glad to be with you on this football Saturday. It's the Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
Andrew Filippone is on the air.
Well, I think we have some competition for what might end up being the biggest stunner in college football today. You know, there's still a lot of time left here. But if Arkansas beats Georgia, I think that's a bigger upset than Kansas State over Oklahoma. Because Kansas State beat Oklahoma last year. And even though the game this year was in Norman, there were fans there, but not a lot. And Oklahoma had a quarterback making his second start. Kansas State, even though they lost to Arkansas State last year, even though they lost to Arkansas State 2 weeks ago, you know, they still have Skylar Thompson at quarterback, who orchestrated the win over Oklahoma in 2019. Veteran quarterback, very average team. But I've seen something like that in the not-so-distant past. Kansas State appears to be just a bugaboo and a matchup problem for Oklahoma. Sometimes you have that in sports where just a team has a tendency or a knack for playing better, or in Oklahoma's case, they play down to their competition against Kansas State. I'm having a hard time explaining Arkansas 7, Georgia 2. With 6 minutes to go in the second quarter, 6 minutes to go in the first half, that Georgia, even down to their third-string quarterback for this game, how they have managed to score 0 points on offense, offensively in this game, against a team with a first-year coach. Arkansas has lost 19 straight games in the SEC. They were 2-10 last year. And you know their coach inside and out because he was your offensive line coach last year if you're Georgia. 7-2. And Arkansas has the ball 6 minutes to go there in the first half. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. I want some early thoughts from you on Kansas City, Baltimore. If you think those are the two best teams in the NFL, who do you think's a better team, the Chiefs or the Ravens? Who do you think wins that game? 855-212-4CBS, 855-412-2227. And after watching Drew Brees Monday night, do you think his career is over? Bucky Brooks, NFL.com. Brees won't rebound from early season struggles. I don't expect Brees to reemerge as the MVP caliber player we've grown accustomed to seeing for most of his 20-year career. And here it is. This is the line right here. The Saints quarterback has lost his fastball. From a former NFL player on NFL.com. 855-212-4CBS, 855-412-2227 is the number to join the program. My name is Andrew Filippone. That number I just gave you is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you, so what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Here's Craig in California on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Craig.
Hey, what's up, Andrew? How you doing, man?
Hey, man.
I don't know who Bucky Brooks is, but that guy can kick rocks. Drew Brees is—he's 41 years old. He's obviously getting older, but his last 3 years have arguably been his best three. And his arm strength's obviously not as good as it used to be. But he just threw a dime to Jared Cook down the sideline week one against Tampa Bay. That was about 40 yards. I mean, obviously the Raiders blanketed him on top and in the middle later in that game when they were down, up 2 touchdowns. So obviously he's going to beat Kamara the Rock. But his receivers didn't give him any help. Michael Thomas is hurt. Half the receivers were pulling up lame on their routes, just probably because they're unfamiliar with them. Emmanuel Sanders, there's a tight end, I remember, ran like a corner route.
Yeah.
Finished a route. But No.
Yeah, I am just surprised how many people, and thanks, Craig, for providing some sanity to this. I just can't believe how quickly. I can't believe how quickly I hear former players who now are working in the media give up and turn on great quarterbacks. You heard that about Tom Brady after week one when he went to New Orleans and lost and had a pick six and the arm strength wasn't entirely there and he was shaky the whole game. Outside of that first scoring drive where he, you know, kept it from the 1 yard line and sneaked his way in. And I heard people say, oh, yeah, Brady. And then Arians, what Bruce Arians said about his first game, this is not a good start. They're not off on the right foot here in Tampa Bay. And then they roll up 30-plus points on Carolina. And I want to remind people that this Sunday will probably be the first time he has healthy Chris Godwin and healthy Mike Evans in the lineup at the same time. So I think Brady will be fine. I think the Buccaneers will win 11 or more games. I think the Saints will definitely finish with a winning record. And so if we evaluated NFL teams like we do the stock market, I would tell you to buy low on New Orleans right now. If we've got people saying Drew Brees has lost his fastball, spare me that. I got to see more than just them losing to the Vikings in the playoffs and not having, I guess, any successful deep balls against the Raiders without his number one wide receiver. I know that we've got, what is it now, 6 AFC teams that are undefeated, 5 in the NFC, so 11. I think the best team I've seen through 2 weeks is Baltimore. Like, what they've done in 2 weeks has impressed me the most. I wasn't high on them to start the year. You know, they just blew out 2 teams. They shellacked. They embarrassed Cleveland in week 1, 38-6. And they ran away from a good quarterback on his home turf, Deshaun Watson, in week 2. So they killed teams. And I think they killed teams more convincingly than Green Bay did or Arizona. Arizona didn't blow out San Francisco in week 1, but I picked the Cardinals to win the Super Bowl. They're getting a ton of buzz now. Everyone's jumping on that bandwagon. I said that to you guys a month ago. I said, look out for Arizona. They're going to win it. Kyler Murray, second-year quarterback. Everybody's going to be talking about him this year. As far as the team that's impressed me the most, though, it's Baltimore. And I still don't think they'll win on Sunday. I mean, on Monday night, excuse me. I've got to see them win a game like that to believe it. And Lamar Jackson, you know, they blew out New England last year. And that was really impressive. But let's call it like it is. The Patriots in 2019 were a good team. They weren't a great team. They didn't have weapons for Brady. They had an incredible secondary. But they don't, I mean, their defensive line, they're no more Vince Wilfork's up front. They didn't have guys on the D-line against the best running team in NFL history. They didn't have the personnel to win a game like that. They still might not. They still probably don't defensively, but now they got a quarterback who I think fits them better. I think for right now, Cam Newton actually fits the Patriots better than Brady. Because I think you need, without the great weapons at wide receiver and tight end, I think to keep defenses honest, you need a quarterback who factors in as an 11th offensive player. I think the threat of Newton doing things with his legs, you need that to soften up defenses when you don't have great playmakers at wide receiver and tight end. So I think Newton for 2020 fits the Patriots better than Brady would have. Baltimore looks great. And if they crush Kansas City, I'll be the first to tell you about it when we get back on the air next weekend. But how do you bet against or how do you pick against Kansas City when even when there are games where they look like vomit for the first quarter, they find a way to win? They get down 24-0 in a playoff game and they score like 45 unanswered points. If Baltimore gets behind 10 points in this game, I give them no chance of winning. I want to know what you think. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. If you don't feel like calling, you can always tweet me at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio.
Andrew Filippone is on the air.
Got to be honest with you, I didn't have LSU on upset alert today, even though I'm down on the Tigers this year, minus Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase to the NFL draft prep stage of his career. No Joe Brady as the pass game coordinator. He's in Carolina with the Panthers. Didn't have them losing as a 2-touchdown favorite against Mississippi State, but they trail at the half, 17-14. KJ Costello is Mike Leach's first quarterback at Mississippi State. He brought him in from Stanford as a transfer. 36 pass attempts in the first half. The guy's on pace for 72 pass attempts. That is insanity. His career high at Stanford was 44. Now, Stanford likes to run the ball a lot more than most college football teams. Bryce Love, I mean, Jim Harbaugh, Coach Shaw, David Shaw now there, like they believe in that. Even with Andrew Luck, they still were determined to run the ball. What a complete change of scenery it must be for this guy that he's thrown 36 passes in the first half, and they lead at the defending national champs. When was the last time the national champions, the defending champs, lost week one? Lost their opener the following season. I don't have that stat off the top of my head, but I wish I did. Also, Georgia has made a quarterback change. Stetson Bennett is in. They're down to their fourth-string quarterback. Jamie Newman transferred, or didn't transfer. The transfer from Wake Forest opted out for them. JT Daniels wasn't cleared to play from USC. Mathis started. Bennett is in. They're down against Arkansas 7-2 with a minute and change to go in the first half. Wild. I like when college football is crazy. It's like a dose of normalcy. It makes me feel like things are going okay in the world. Want your thoughts on Chiefs-Ravens? Who do you think is the best team in the NFL right now? Is it Kansas City or Baltimore? 855-212-4CBS. Maybe you think it's someone else. I don't know. Who else would you say is better than one of those two teams? 855-212-4227. I was also curious this hour and getting your thoughts on Drew Brees, and he's already being written off now because of how timid he was to throw the ball downfield against the Raiders. And I'm seeing and reading people say, don't be surprised if a quarterback change gets made there because Brees has got nothing left. He's already signed up to call games for NBC Sports next year. We know that, you know, he had kind of an ugly, he had a regrettable remark this offseason about the anthem that didn't go over well in his locker room, but I thought they had mended fences. I don't think it is about that. I think his struggles to start the year have more to do with Michael Thomas than anything else not being there. Here is Brady in Canada on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Brady.
Oh, hi, Andrew. No, and I'm a big Harbaugh and Jackson fan, but I don't think Baltimore is going to be able to do it. I mean, try to stop Mahomes and Kelsey and Hill and Hunt and now Edwards-Helaire. I don't think so. You know, I told somebody on the station I thought the Chiefs were capable of averaging about 450 yards a game or 7,000 yards this year, and I think they can do it. And unless Jackson,
well, here's a question for you. If you don't think they're going to lose this game, right?
Yeah.
You're like me. You don't think they're going to lose?
No, I don't think they're going to lose this game.
When are they going to lose?
Oh, I don't. Somewhere down the line later in this, because they're not going undefeated. I think they'll.
You don't think so?
15-1 or 14-2. But every team has a bad game that nothing clicks, or like maybe their defense gets scorched. That's what's going to happen to them. But
it felt like that was going to happen to them last week. I mean, they trailed for most of that game. And the fact that they're winning those games that they should lose, which you could have said about any of their playoff games in the first half. Houston, Tennessee, the Super Bowl against San Francisco. You know, their luck is carried over to this year. They are a great team, no doubt. They've got the best quarterback in the league. They had some lucky breaks last year, too. Big time lucky breaks, I think. Patriots lost twice. Losing twice late in the year helped them. Because what it did, Patriots get upset in week 17 to Miami. Kansas City gets a bye. So now, all right, we get to play at Arrowhead. So they're the 2 seed instead of the 3 seed. Tennessee did their dirty work. Tennessee knocked off the Patriots and the Ravens for them. And they got to play 2 teams in the AFC South on their way to a Super Bowl. Houston and Tennessee. They got to beat Bill O'Brien and Ryan Tannehill on their way to a Super Bowl. So they were the rare combination, I think, late in the year of lucky and you know, incredible at quarterback. And their defense came on late, too. That's the other thing about Kansas City. That's kind of the untold story with them. And it's easy to gloss over their defensive turnaround because of Mahomes and all the points they score and just how aesthetically you watch it and cosmetically the Chiefs, they don't win ugly, usually. Like, I know last week was an exception to that, but they're a glamorous team. They're the modern NFL team. They're what fans... They're, I think, now... New England is no longer this. I think they are now the model team. They're the team everybody's jealous of and envious of. And maybe that'll change. You know, I think Green Bay, we were probably saying the same thing 10 years ago, right? The Packers won the Super Bowl. They beat Pittsburgh. And then the next year, Rodgers was the MVP, and they looked unbeatable. And they went 15-1, 15-1. And then they got beat at home. They got beat at home by a 9-7 Giants team in the playoffs. They didn't win a playoff game that year. They lost in the divisional round at 15-1. So it can happen. I don't think the Chiefs will go undefeated either. But I think they'll be close. And I think there are some things about, like, if I were on the air in Kansas City, if I were doing a show Monday after they have Harrison Butker kick three in because of the timeout, the penalty, and then the third try, kick 3 50-plus-yard field goals to win the game at the end of overtime. If I'm doing sports talk radio in Kansas City the next day, I'm killing the Chiefs. I'm not doing the whole a win is a win talk. I'm saying, okay, they got away with it. A win beats a loss. Let out a sigh of relief because they came back again, and that's really cool that they have this ability to come back and win games. But why are they trailing the Chargers by double digits in the second half? That's what I want. Let's get into that. Let's try to diagnose why that's happening. How did we let a rookie quarterback come in after he was good at Oregon, but he wasn't great? How did we let this guy really not? Maybe not totally embarrass us, but how do we let this guy look so good? Do they have a quarterback like ours? Is that Herbert's career arc? Is that his path? Because after the game, their coach was hoping that he got Tyrod Taylor back. You know, if not for a completely brain-dead decision to punt back to the Chiefs in overtime, maybe that game's a tie or a loss. So there are some things they got to clean up. They're corners right now. If I'm the Chiefs, that's the area to exploit them. And the thing about Kansas City is, you know, their offense will always be their best defense. They've got a quarterback and they've got an offense with weapons where they can score at will on even the best defenses in the league, and they can bail out their defense a lot. And the thing is, though, like, the thing that would bother me about that game against the Chargers is they flipped the switch. It was almost like, okay, we're kind of in danger of losing this game. All right, now let's start playing. I think you can only get away with that so much, even with Mahomes. Like, I think if they tried to pull that crap against New England, they'd lose. I think that's, again, mark my words here. I think if anybody's going to knock off Kansas City, it's going to be New England. And if they do it, even with Cam Newton, who is having a renaissance season, and I predicted it, if that happens, that's going to go down as one of Belichick's best wins ever. right up there with all the Super Bowl wins. Because he were to have done it without Brady. And the problem with Brady and Belichick is they share the credit. And that's why this year is so fascinating for both guys. Is that they get to kind of plot their own course and make their own path and way of things. And I think both are going to have great years. I think Tampa Bay and New England will be around late into the playoffs. All right, thanks to everyone who listened today. Loved it. Can't wait to do it again next Saturday. The Pony Express, 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 to 3 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio.